Hello and welcome to The Fix, a podcast about Lightroom, Photoshop, post-processing, and the cool and creative things we get to do with our images after the shoot. I'm Sean Duggan, your host, and to those two words, cool and creative, I also want to add very important. And joining me today to talk about something that is very important for photographers who use Lightroom is photographer and author Rob Sylvan. And Rob is going to be going over some of the very important things to keep in mind when trying to tame your photo library in Lightroom. Stay with us. Well, hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in and joining me here on The Fix. I do appreciate that. So our topic for today is how to tame your photo library in Lightroom. And you know, as digital photographers, I think we've all run into situations at one time or another where our filing system, if we're lucky to even have a filing system, where our filing system gets messed up and confused and files are not where they're supposed to be and it's hard for us to find things. And that's just one of the realities of working digitally. You know, we create all this content oftentimes on a daily basis. It's very easy to press the shutter button. The pixels are free. It doesn't cost us any money to have the photos developed, as it were. Where the cost comes in really is the time and effort that it takes to keep your files organized after you have shot them. Now, fortunately, there are programs such as Adobe Photoshop Lightroom, as well as other programs that are designed to help us manage our ever-growing photo libraries. But even within the parameters of those programs, there are certain structural conventions, there are certain rules and recommended ways to do things to keep everything neat and tidy and happy. And sometimes it's all too easy to accidentally do something that can cause a problem and introduce some chaos theory into your photo archive. Fortunately, today's guest is Rob Sylvan, and he's here to help us sort some of that out. Rob is, I think, uniquely qualified to address some of these issues just because he has been answering people's Lightroom questions from all over the world as part of the Lightroom Help Desk at NAPP, the National Association of Photoshop Professionals, which of course is now Kelby One. So Rob, welcome back to The Fix. How you doing?
Doing all right. Good to see you.
Good to see you. You know, I was when we were kind of putting this together, when we were going to meet to do this show, maybe think of the last time we got together, also talking about Lightroom. And I was shocked to discover that that was like all the way back in December of last year, 41 episodes ago.
Wow. You've been busy.
Yeah. Well, this is episode number 83. And I think we got together on episode 42. Yeah. So, yeah, it's amazing. Well, you know, if you do them regularly one a week, they add up.
All right. Now we have a pattern. Every 40 episodes, I will come back.
Yeah, well, no, you're always welcome because, you know, you're it's great to hang out with you and get together and talk. And you have such great information to share about all things photographic and digital imaging and stuff.
Yeah. No, happy to do it and happy to get to talk to you again.
So recently I saw on social media channels that you had a box show up on your doorstep.
I did. And this was in it. So this is the latest Lightroom book I did. It's called Taming Your Photo Library with Adobe Lightroom. And it's not at all about developing. There's nothing about developing whatsoever. This is a book that I really, although I didn't know it, I've always wanted to write from doing help desk support for Lightroom for the last 10 years. When I've done other Lightroom books, like I've kind of done the soup to nuts, you know, intro to Lightroom, and I've done a video class kind of intro to Lightroom. And those books are good, and they certainly have their place. But you never get to go deep enough into certain things in those books because you're kind of limited with, you know, page count and, you know, covering all the amazing other things that Lightroom can do. And so in this book, it's kind of unique in that it's really mostly about the library module and dealing, understanding this whole relationship between this Lightroom catalog thing, and your photos, and how once you understand that relationship, how you can use Lightroom to really kind of tame your whole, your library for the past, you know, because most people are, when they start using Lightroom, they've already got some amount of photos to deal with.
Right.
And then moving forward into the future, so hopefully you can, you know, get enough of a good foundation here that you can scale your library off into the future in a way that's manageable, you know, for some time to come. And that's kind of what the book's about. And it was really kind of a pleasure to get to spend so much time just talking about this thing. It's not terribly sexy. It's not like something you can demo and make people go, oh, and wow. which is probably why it never has been covered before. But hopefully, you know, from doing help desk stuff, there's so many people who are, you know, who love Lightroom, love the develop module, love what it can do. And they just kind of put off to the side the whole importing and, you know, organizing and understanding how that part works. And I know some really great and really smart, competent, functional people in the world who have this disasters of Lightroom, you know, catalogs and their photo stuff. And I can understand that, you know, we make so much content, all the time. And that's probably where most people find their joy in this thing is creating the content, not managing it. And so hopefully the approach I tried to take with this book is really about, you know, if I could have sat next to you and just helped you understand how this stuff works. I don't have like, it's not like a prescription of like, just do this and everything will be right. Mm-hmm. I really want people to try to understand how this works and that there's not necessarily one single right way to do any of this stuff. But if you understand it and it makes sense in your brain and it can scale, then it's probably good, or at least good enough. Right. Because, you know, it's been kind of an honor for me in a way to get to work with so many different photographers, because I get to peek, you know, behind the scenes with, you know, what they're doing and see there's really lots of ways of approaching this. So I don't feel like I know the one right way, but I know some things that can help people understand it.
Well, you know, I think that a lot of it has to do with understanding some really essential core concepts about how Lightroom works with your content, and knowing, you know, what rules not to break, like, you know, moving files outside of Lightroom is, you know, kind of one that comes to mind immediately. Right. But once you kind of understand those core concepts, then I think it's much easier to create an image archive structure that works for you and makes sense for you. And maybe it's evolved from the way you already had been organizing your photos. Right. But, you know, you're able to do it within the parameters of how the Lightroom ecosystem works. And, you know, once you, as you know, having, you know, done this for 10 years, you know, with the Lightroom help desk, I think once you can get those basic concepts down, those basic dance steps, then it becomes much easier to manage the library and not run into these disaster situations that I know that, you know, both you and I have run into in terms of helping other people.
That's right. And, you know, it's easy to make assumptions with software. And a lot of Lightroom users come through the Bridge, Photoshop, Camera Raw, you know, path. And they feel like, oh, okay, Lightroom, it's made by the same folks. I should assume that everything works the same here as it might in Bridge. And then that's often a place of problem is because they don't. You know, there's a different whole thing there, this whole catalog thing. Or you don't know what you don't know, right? And that can create problems. And then now we have the whole Lightroom mobile piece too. So now we're bringing in content from our mobile devices and trying to keep our arms around that. And is that part of our regular photo library? Is it some separate thing? Is it, you know, and do we have it duplicated? And how many do we have it available on all devices? And so, and it's not going to stop. You know, it's a bit like drinking from a fire hose. I mean, it's all it's just coming and coming and coming, and you got to you know, take it all in.
I think you touched on a real key point here, at least in terms of how the content generation arc has evolved up to this point, is that nowadays, you know, it used to be that our imaging content, our photographs, would come from one source. You know, we would have like one camera. We might have an SLR and a compact camera. Okay, great. That's easy to manage. You just plug them both into your computer and download. And once you got a handle on the whole Lightroom thing, you know, you can coast from there with some essential management knowledge of how Lightroom works. But now we have, you know, content coming in from our various mobile devices. We have cameras that are now Wi-Fi enabled. So we might have images coming in from the camera through Wi-Fi as well as through the hardwired connection. Yeah. So it's just getting crazier and crazier, and having a good handle on how your image management program works is really essential.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, and we're not even just taking one picture of the thing anymore, because now we have HDR and we're doing panos and we're doing HDR panos. And so we've got, you know, 9 frames, you know, for times 10 for a pan. It's like, yeah, oh my God, that's a lot of data that we've got to deal with. And
and video.
That's
too.
Right. And now video too. Yeah. So,
yeah.
So there's definitely a lot. And I'm glad this book is done. It was, you know, you know this, when you're creating, when you're doing this, it really takes a lot of your brain power. And it's kind of nice to have released that part of my brain from doing that job, because I can have other parts of my, you know, other parts of my life come back to me. So,
yeah, I can totally identify with that. Having written several books and co-authored several books, it's always a great day when your box of advanced author copies shows up in the door, and you know, one, you get to see it, and you know that, okay, this is totally done. I don't have to stress about this or stay up late, burn the candle, you know, at both ends to finish it.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you. That's great.
So tell me how is the book structured? Like, you know, if you were to give me like a quick little flyby overview of like the basic structure of the book, the sections, how you guide people through this very important topic.
Yeah, sure. So in the beginning, it's really all about kind of understanding the basics of how this works. You're really kind of, you know, understanding this Lightroom paradigm, maybe somewhat different places that you understand it and places that you're like, oh, okay, I never really made those connections before. And then kind of understanding, but that, you know, hopefully it kind of builds on that. So while it can be used like a reference where you just want to find out something and just look it up, you can certainly do that. But the way I tried to make it was, if somebody was coming to this cold and they want to just kind of build up sequentially, start with the first chapter. That will give you that foundation. Then we start talking about importing and what's that whole process, because that's confusing to a lot of folks.
Yeah.
And then more about, okay, now you've understand the basics, you bring some photos in, how do you manage those photos over time? And not terribly sexy stuff, but pretty important, because if you don't do that part, you know, you're sad because you can't find your photos, and that might even have financial repercussions. And then kind of getting into organizing tools, such as using collections, using keywords, using all that different metadata that Lightroom is really good at providing. Mm-hmm. And then taking some time to, now we've got all this information in this catalog, we understand what that is all about. How do we safeguard it? How do we protect it? How do we, you know, back it up? And if we should need to recover from it,
how do we do that?
How do we do all those pieces? Then there's a little bit on just, now that you know those stuff, how can you be more efficient? You know, what are the tools inside of Lightroom that really, you know, when Lightroom was created, its whole purpose was to make this workflow more efficient. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of really great and powerful things, templates and presets and different ways that you can kind of leverage these things, that these tasks that are somewhat repetitive, to make this process more enjoyable. Mm-hmm. And so once you've got all the other stuff under your belt, yeah, now you can start really making things work faster for you.
Yeah.
And then I really wanted to be able to kind of take a lot of time and just kind of describe and try to help people understand these things. And that's a separate task than like, here's a step-by-step workflow. And so I also, there's a whole, really two chapters that kind of come later on that really kind of provide a sample of like, here's how you could actually step through this stuff. Now that we understand, you know, how this works conceptually, here's actually how, what it looks like when you do it. And that way,
so sort of like maybe exploring a specific scenario.
Yeah.
Walking them through that so they can get a little bit of hands on.
Yeah. Cause it's, you know, it's somewhat separate to say, here's the import process and why it's important. Then, okay, here's what this panel does and how would you actually use it if you were actually doing this process and stepping through and making these decisions now that you understand the bigger picture. And so right. I kind of separated those out. So for folks who just want to see the step-by-step through, they can go to that chapter and just kind of work through the workflow. People who want to read about, well, why, and then mm-hmm. they can go on to that part. And then there's a little bit at the end about Lightroom Mobile. That's a hard one to pin down in a book. The books are so fixed in time, and Lightroom Mobile is not fixed in time.
Yeah, nothing mobile is fixed in time.
Yeah. So I didn't get too much into the, like, you know, here's every little menu and feature, but more, again, conceptually, how does this going to integrate with your Lightroom desktop experience? Mm-hmm. And some resources online that people can, you know, discover. Because there's a lot of great, like, how-to stuff out there.
Sure.
So try to direct, you know, to some of the stuff Adobe has out there already on the how-to.
Yeah.
Because, you know, by the time I finished writing that book, I think Lightroom Mobile has released two more updates, you know, from when I started to when it's out there. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So let me ask you a question then. Based on your experience helping people all these years with Lightroom and obviously, you know, writing this book and you write a regular Lightroom column for Photoshop User Magazine, as do I. Yeah. But what do you think is there sort of like one central place or a central concept where people get either bogged down or they go astray? You know, they kind of get something a little bit wrong in terms of their understanding how something about Lightroom works, and that causes a domino effect, which eventually leads up to the utter chaos of an image library that's out of control.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think there is, at least in my experience, and that is people not fully understanding where all their stuff actually is. And I, you know, it's this ephemeral stuff. It's digital. It's not like you can, you know, pick it up out of a shoebox and thumb through it. So it's hard to know with the, you know, geographically where it is. But I think most people kind of understand, okay, you have a computer, has a hard drive. There are folders on the hard drive. And stuff is located inside those folders. But when it comes to these software programs with our photos, there seems to be kind of a disconnect. And people, you know, maybe it's the language that we use that is partly to blame. Mm-hmm. So someone, you know, commonly I'll get questions around, well, I know my photos are in Bridge.
Right.
And, you know, and I'm like, no, your photos are not in Bridge. Okay, Bridge is not like a container that you put stuff in. Bridge is just this browser you point at stuff and it shows you what's in there. And so you have to kind of go, okay, so if you know Finder on Mac, it's like that. Or if you know Windows Explorer, it's like that. That's Bridge. So your photos aren't in Bridge. Your photos are on your hard drive. And so, well, my photos are in Lightroom. No, your photos aren't in Lightroom either. And so kind of going through and trying to separate that and, you know, not trying to, you know, to talk down to people or make people feel dumb about it. Cause I don't at all. I understand why it's confusing.
Yeah.
But it's really important, as a photographer to know where your photos are because, if you don't know where they are, it's hard to back up, you know, if you're not doing a good job backing them all up or keeping your arms around them all, then that's when, you know, problems strike, that can be really, really financially, devastating. So, a big part of that is understanding what all the pieces actually are in when mm-hmm. you're dealing with Lightroom. So knowing that there's this catalog file, knowing that the catalog file has this preview cache that kind of works hand in hand together, might have more than one preview cache depending on, you know, how you use Lightroom. Then knowing where your photos are, and typically they're in a separate, you know, location, separate folder, maybe yeah. close by, but also separate. And you might have your photos on multiple places, you know, at any given point, I probably have my photos spread across at least two different drives, if not more, and not counting backup copies as well.
Sure.
And Lightroom doesn't really care about that. And so that's part of the problem, I think, is, you know, software makers, not to blame them, but they try to make these programs easy for us to use, so that we don't have mm-hmm. to think about things like file types and locations on hard drives. And so, like, you know, if you're used to using, you know, an iOS device, who knows where stuff is on there? You know, you don't have to know, you know, what folder your photos are when you're taking, you know, a picture.
Yeah. They're just in your camera roll.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. And so I understand the desire to make things simple like that for folks, but I don't think we're quite there yet when it comes to computers. Maybe because there's too many drives involved, there's too spread out, and that when people don't know where they are, they can't access them if something goes wrong.
Well, you know, I think it's natural, I think, for people to want the software to handle a lot of that for them, and obviously the software developers want that. That makes people want to buy the programs or buy the entire computing ecosystem.
Right.
At a certain point, it also is very useful to just sort of know, as you say, where things are, you know, independent of any software you might use to look at your pictures, where are they? And I tell people that one of the most important things that they can have is a solid picture in their mind's eye of where their pictures are stored on a hard drive.
Exactly.
And what is the basic folder structure of that? Exactly. Now, you know, obviously that supposes that they have their pictures stored, you know, more or less in a central spot and not just sort of scattered willy-nilly all over the place. But if you know in your mind that that's where your pictures are, it's going to make it much easier to solve issues when pictures go missing.
That's right. And manage it over time, you know, and there will come a point in every one of our lives who deal with this stuff that we need to move our photos from one drive to another, whether it's because you bought a new computer or the old one died, or you just ran out of space, or any of those very normal, inevitable things that happen to us. So you have to kind of know that part and feel really secure in that knowledge, so that when you say goodbye to the old device, you're confident that all your stuff is in the new place. So I think, you know, when the day comes, maybe when all our stuff is just in the magical cloud all the time and we can just access it anywhere and we don't really need to know, you know, where it is anymore because it's super safe and secure and all that. But we're quite a ways from that kind of utopia of digital management. We're stuck. I'm looking at my desk and it's just covered with hard drives and batteries and, you know, other devices. And, you know, I don't see that changing anytime soon. So.
No, not in the near future anyway. So what words of advice can you pass on to people in terms of, okay, you know, somebody who, you know, both the person who's maybe just getting into this, maybe just starting to work with Lightroom, as well as people who might have been using Lightroom for a while, but are maybe still shaky on some important maneuvers.
Yeah, sure. Could I share my screen and maybe show a couple things as I talk through it? Because it might be a little easier to... conceptually.
Yeah, by all means, fire up the old screen share engine.
All right, let me do that. So one of the things that's probably most important for this idea of knowing where your stuff is understanding some of the settings in here. And so I'm on a Mac, and so under the Lightroom menu, there's this catalog settings menu. If I was on Windows, that catalog settings would be found under the edit menu. So I'm going to go to catalog settings and to general. And this shows you right here. This shows me where my catalog is stored. Shows me the name of that catalog. Shows me when it was created, when it was backed up, optimized, and even its file size. So now I know where that is. And if I'm not even sure where that is, because for some folks, this path may not be so clear. I've seen situations where the catalog they're using is not in the place they expected it to be. So if that happens and you're really confused, you can click on the show button, and that will actually open up to the folder containing your catalog, and you can see it right in here. So the catalog is this LRCAT file. That's the one that you want to be protecting, the one you want to back up, the one that has all the work that you've been doing so diligently inside of Lightroom every time you open it up. Alongside that catalog, now that we're inside this folder here, there's these LR data files, and these are the preview caches. So behind me here, when we see inside of Lightroom, when we see these photos, what we're actually seeing are these previews that are stored inside this cache file right here. And so we're in the library module. It's really just giving us this view of this folder. Think of this as a folder full of JPEGs rendered out of each of the photos that have gone through the import process. And that way, for example, some of the photos I have in this catalog are on an external hard drive. If this drive was disconnected, I can still see the thumbnails, even though the drive's not online, because those thumbnails are stored inside that preview cache. And so Lightroom uses this catalog, this database, and works hand-in-hand with this preview cache to display what looks like our photos and data about our photos, whether or not our photos happen to be online at that particular moment in time.
And then just to clarify for people, because this question comes up again and again and again, and getting back to that idea of, my photos are quote-unquote in Lightroom. None of these files here contain your actual image files. Those are somewhere else on your hard drive.
Exactly. And so to know where your photos are, and so in this case, I've got two different drives worth of photos. If I were to right-click on a folder, I can come down here to choose Show in Finder. Would be Show and Explore on Windows. And that will open up a Finder window to where my photos live. All right. And so in this case, we see here inside the folders panel, there's imported photos. And here's that folder, imported photos. And if I expand that out there, I have all of the folders that are shown right here.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so that tells me a really hands-on way of finding out where my photos are actually on my drive and where my catalog actually is on my drive. And I can see that they're in two separate places, even though they're on this particular setup, they're actually both contained within my pictures folder, but they my photos are not actually inside of Lightroom itself. And it's one of those things where, once you kind of do it, it makes sense. And you're kind of like, oh, yeah, sure, no surprise.
Yeah.
But for some folks, it's a revelation to realize, oh, I can. And you can do that on a per-photo basis as well. If I right-click on a photo here, I can come down to, here it is, up here, Show in Finder, and it will take me right to that particular photograph inside of Finder. So anytime you find a photo, you're just not sure where it actually is on your hard drive, just right-click. That contextual menu under right-click is a really powerful way to help you kind of find stuff really quickly.
The analogy that I like to use, which is helpful to some people, is that of a regular library. You know, when you go to the library, if you're looking up a book on the little computer terminals in the library, the book is not there inside the computer where you're looking it up on. It's out on a shelf somewhere, and the database there tells you where to go find it.
I might have borrowed that analogy in my book. Actually, I use that card catalog idea.
Yeah.
For those of us old enough to remember libraries that had card catalogs anyway.
The card catalog analogy is good for people of a certain age. but youngsters are going to look at you with a blank stare and go, card catalog? What? What's that? Yeah,
that's right. So kind of building on, now that you kind of understand where these files are, how to find them, and understanding that they're separate, the other important part of that whole process is under the preferences on the general tab is understanding what your default catalog is. Now, this is an issue that I raise all the time because I literally got another question about this last week. And this is what happens to folks, all right? So by default, this is set to load most recent, all right? Which means that if I quit Lightroom and then relaunch Lightroom, it's going to open the last catalog that I used. And for most folks who just have one catalog, it makes a lot of sense, and that's what happens, and there's no problem. What I have seen happen to more people than I would have believed possible is that at some point in their past, they open up a backup copy of their catalog. And that backup copy of the catalog is probably stored, if they were doing it intelligently, on a different drive, in a whole different other folder structure. All right. And so, for example, I use on my laptop, all my catalogs get put into a folder on Dropbox. That way, they're saved here on my local hard drive, then they go up to the Dropbox server, and then they come down into my other computer, and I've got them kind of populated in multiple places really quickly, as well as when my entire system backup sweeps them up as well. Prior to Lightroom 6, these catalog files were not compressed into zip files. They were just a Lightroom catalog file that sat inside a database folder. And so what folks have done is at some point they open up this backup catalog just to see what's in there, or maybe they're not sure what it is and it has the same name as their working catalog, and they open it up and they go, oh, it's my backup or whatever it is, and they quit Lightroom, and then the next day they launch Lightroom and now they're opening the last catalog that they used, which was this one that's stored in a backup folder someplace else. But they don't realize it because it looks just like their regular catalog, because it's a copy of their actual catalog just from a previous point in time. And at some point, what I've seen happen next, which is the worst part, is they'll find a tutorial written by someone like me that says, hey, you should periodically delete all your old backup copies of your catalog, because Lightroom never goes back to touch them, and they just keep building up. So I don't have that filled up, but I, you know, I only keep the most recent two or three or four. You know, I just periodically purge the old ones. But if you weren't aware of where your catalog was, then you may just accidentally delete your working catalog because it was in amongst all of those backup copies. So what I recommend is, instead of using this setting, which this is the default setting, is specifically choose the catalog you want to open each time. If you only have one catalog, it's a pretty simple choice. If you have multiple catalogs, if you're someone who has uses multiple catalogs and you switch between them and you've got all your good reasons for doing that, then you can choose this other option, which is prompt me when starting Lightroom. That way, every time you launch Lightroom, you get to be in the driver's seat and make the choice about which catalog will open at that point in time, right?
Yeah.
But if you only have one...
Yeah, that's a great option. But I was going to say that in order to make sense of that option, you do need to have a really good solid familiarity with, you know, which catalog is which and where it is, because if you don't, then that can just cause, you know, confusion too.
Absolutely. And so so that's more of an advanced, you know, user. There are people who have, you know, really good reasons in their workflow to have multiple catalogs, and they know where they are and what they're doing, and you know, God bless them for doing it. But for most folks, you know, having one catalog is the way to go. I really only have one catalog that I use primarily, but because I write and do tests and do stuff, I usually have other random catalogs that I'm, you know, trying stuff out in, so that I'm not doing damage to my working catalog. But when I go to actually to get to my photos, I just open this one catalog that's open now, and it's got 137,000. You know, files being managed inside of it. So, so set that default catalog, know where your catalog is, make sure you're backing it up on a regular basis. So under this catalog settings general, this is where you choose that backup frequency. I have it set to every time Lightroom exits. And that way, if I quit Lightroom, I get prompted. All right. I like that nag of saying, hey, you want to back up? Hey, you want to back up? Even if I don't always have time to do it, right? There is a skip button. So if I was in a hurry, I would just choose skip. But if I wasn't in a hurry, or if I deliberately said, okay, I just did a bunch of work, or just imported new photos, or I just did a big editing session, I want to create a backup right now. I'll quit Lightroom, run the backup, and then relaunch it later on and, you know, continue on again, knowing that I've got, you know, a backup in place. And this is the only location where you can choose where that backup's going to go. Now, ideally, if I always had another hard drive connected, I don't always have this external hard drive connected, I would direct this backup to go to a separate hard drive. But I don't. So what I do is I send it to Dropbox, so that way it's synced off. This particular computer is also being backed up continuously by Time Machine. And then I also clone it on a regular basis using SuperDuper. So I get super paranoid because I've made my own mistakes and had my own calamities of data loss. So I don't take any chances anymore. I've got multiple ways of keeping it backed up. But if you only have one other hard drive that you regularly use and you're still working on getting your backup situation organized, definitely direct this backup folder to a separate hard drive. That way, if one hard drive fails, you've got a good copy of your catalog on another hard drive that you can access really quickly. So I'll skip that. Lightroom will just quit. All right, now Lightroom is closed. I'll just launch Lightroom back. And because I have that preference set up, I know exactly which catalog is going to open, and it'll take me right back to where I left off when I quit. Right? And so if you understand where your catalog is, where your photos are, how to back up your catalog, why you should back it up, and have that preference set to only open that one default catalog, you're ahead a lot of folks, you know, and you're in a much better place for kind of keeping your photo library safely managed for a while. So I will exit out of here, out of the screen share, and come back to join you on the other screen.
Well, that's great information, Rob. And, you know, I have run into so many instances where people have gotten messed up by that, accidentally opening up the backup catalog. That has got to be one of the most nefarious kind of gotchas that can happen.
Yeah.
In Lightroom. You know, it would be great if, I don't know how they could do this, but if it saw that the catalog was being opened from actually a folder designated as backups, if it popped up a little message saying, you're opening up a catalog that's in a backup folder, do you really want to do this? That would be cool.
Yeah, I mean, it helped when they compressed them into zip files. I think that keeps people from just accidentally going, oh, what's this, and just opening it, because you have to unzip it.
Yeah.
But I think the simplest thing they could do to solve this problem for most folks is just remove the load most recent as the default.
If they just set
the default as the specific catalog. They could leave load most recent as an option if somebody really like loves it.
Yeah.
But just not make it the default. That would probably help out a ton of folks, because it would.
Yeah.
When Lightroom starts, it knows where the catalog lives. That path was already in there. Just set that one as the default, and be done with it. And I think that would make most people a lot safer.
No, you're right, Eric. That would be a good choice. That would make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So, you know, as you were talking about that, especially the aspect of going in and kind of purging the older backups, you know, because, of course, every time it backs up, it's creating a new file. And depending on the size of your catalog, that could be, you know, several hundred megabytes to a few gigabytes or more of just the catalog. It would be cool, probably not high on their priority list, but it would be cool if Lightroom could sort of treat that backup folder as almost a watched folder, and you could say, oh, you have so many backup files in here, you really don't need to keep that many, you know, maybe keep only the five or six most recent ones. You know, do you want to purge the old ones?
Yeah.
And sort of remind people, because again, so many people forget about going in and getting rid of the older backup files.
Yeah, I think maybe it's like, for those folks, it's like all of a sudden they get a new hard drive because they just recovered, you know, a terabyte of space.
It's
like a gift. You know, it's delayed gratification. All of a sudden, oh my God, look at that. I just regained all of this space.
So hundreds of gigabytes worth of space if you've never cleaned out your old backup files. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So, Rob, where can people find you out there in internet land?
Well, my somewhat sadly a neglected blog, which I am motivated now. I just had a great talk with a good friend about getting that up to date, is lightroomers.com. But I also write for photofocus.com, and there's a number of articles I have on there. I do every month I do a Lightroom Hangout on PhotoFocus. Yep. It's live. People can watch, ask questions. We've had you on there. Hopefully we'll have you on again. One for September is happening soon, but our October one will be, usually we're trying to target the first Monday of the month, trying to get on a regular schedule there. Labor Day threw us off this particular month, but that should be okay. I have some articles on Adobe Press and peachpit.com, which is where you can find the book.
Right.
Teaming and your then, photo library with Lightroom.
Yeah. And then, as we mentioned earlier, you also have a regular column on Lightroom in Photoshop User Magazine.
Yeah. So I usually am the warm-up act for you, right? I usually come right before your column in Photoshop User. So if you're a Kelby One member, you get access. It's really cool now in Kelby One on the website. You have access to a whole year's worth of the magazines that you can download or read online. There's a ton of video content on Lightroom and Photoshop and photography. And then that's where the help desk is. So it's called the advice desk on there. And it's part of your membership benefit that a lot of people maybe don't even know that they have it. Where you can just go in there and you can send in unlimited number of questions on Lightroom or Photoshop or even on photography gear and computer gear. There's advice desks for each of those. Uh-huh. And those questions all go to live people just like me. I get only the Lightroom ones. Pete Bauer, who is a phenomenal Photoshop guy, does all the Photoshop ones. He's got some help on the Photoshop from a wonderful woman named Janine. I forget the other two, computer guy and the photo gear guy. I haven't met them in person yet, so it's hard for me to remember their names. Right. But it's all on there, all on Kelby One, and it's all part of the regular Kelby One membership. So it's pretty good.
Right, right. Cool. And so if somebody is asking a Lightroom question at the advice section there on KelbyOne.com, you're going to be the one fielding that question, right?
That's right. All the Lightroom ones come to me.
Cool. Excellent. Yeah, that's a great way to learn about a program is to be tasked with helping other people learn their program, because you run into all sorts of things that you would never run into on your own, because you do things a certain way and maybe you have a good handle on it. So you never run into the problems that happen, and running into those problems is great, because it's very challenging. You figure out, okay, what went wrong and how do I fix it? And
I owe a great deal to everyone who's ever sent in a question, because I really have, I've learned a lot. It's given me a lot of good fodder for articles and tutorials, even though, you know, now a whole book out of it. And I've made some really nice connections on there with folks all over the world. And so it's been really, I'm really grateful to all those folks who've taken the time to send those questions, and hopefully they've gotten the benefit of a good answer out of it. So
yeah, cool. Excellent. No, it's a great resource. And in terms of providing benefit and knowledge, thanks for taking the time to come on and join me here on The Fix and share what you did today. I'm sure that people will find that very useful and very interesting. And if they want to delve further, they can get your book, How to Tame Your Photo Library in Lightroom, just out, brand spanking new. It's still shiny and glistening. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Sean, for having me on.
All right, take it easy. All right, well, thank you out there in internet land for tuning in and joining us here on The Fix. Remember, you can always subscribe to the show. Just go to the website, thisweekinphoto.com/thefix, and there's a subscribe box over on the right side of the page. You can also get in touch with us. Just use the Contact Us link at the top of the page. And in that little contact window that opens up, make sure you open the menu and choose this show, The Fix, and that way that will ensure that your message gets to me. I'm Sean Duggan. Thanks very much for watching. Catch you next time on The Fix.